RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The president is called upon to allow greater role for constitutional court in solving electoral disputes. Energy minister defends legality of renewable energy levy. Now the news in detail. Ismail Hassani of the Setara Institute said President Joko Widodo needs to step in to make sure that the constitutional court can hear more electoral complaints, as the vast majority of such filings is rejected for not meeting strict formal requirements. Speaking on Saturday, Ismail said that the Constitutional Court has received 131 charges over this month across the Republic, but only 21 would be processed if Article 158 of law remains in place. The article stipulates that plaintiffs must lose the election by no more than 2% of the vote if they are to contest the results. Ismail said that this requirement should either be revised by increasing the vote percentage or be scrapped altogether, adding that the president could make this happen with the issuance of a government regulation in lieu of law known as Perpu. Indonesia's energy minister has justified a levy on gasoline and diesel prices that will go toward funding renewable energy programs following criticism about the legality of such a move. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said stated in a press release on Saturday that there's always going to be controversy over the new policies. However, the government should show that the management to be professional, transparent, and accountable. Sudirman further added that if necessary, a special fund to manage the levy would be included in the revised 2016 budget. He said he would discuss the matter further with legislators from the House of Representatives Commission 7, which oversees energy affairs, when the House reconvenes next month after its year-end break. The Corruption Eradication Commission is set to summon witnesses for questioning next week in its investigation into the alleged corruption case involving state-owned port operator PT Pelindo II, President Director Richard Jos Lino. Last week, the commission named Lino a suspect in alleged corruption case related to the procurement of 3 quay container cranes in 2010. The commission spokesperson Yuyu said that the investigators had found 2 pieces of preliminary evidence that were sufficient to name Lino a suspect in the case. She also said that the anti-graft body had not yet determined the project value and potential state losses caused by the procurement irregularities, saying that the Corruption Eradication Commission would further examine the case. Lino was alleged to have misused the authority to enrich himself by conducting a direct procurement of 3 cranes from Chinese-based company Wuxi Huadong Heavy Machinery Co. Limited. People in Aceh on Saturday marked the 11th anniversary of the deadly tsunami that hit the province and other areas along the Indian Ocean by staging prayer meetings at mosques and public places. The December 26, 2004 tsunami killed hundreds of thousands of people in 14 countries. Aceh was hit hardest and suffered immense devastation, with waves of up to 30 meters high surging inland and destroying everything in their path, killing some 130,000 people. Thousands of local people joined by officials attended a prayer meeting at Attaqwa Grand Mosque in Kutachane in Southeast Aceh District on Saturday, while journalists held a separate event in Banda Aceh on Friday night to commemorate the 27 colleagues who lost their lives in the disaster. Others visited graves to read verses from the Quran or attended zikir meetings that evolve around Islamic devotional chants. Last item. The Global Competitiveness Report 2015-2016 released by the World Economic Forum stated that Indonesia's infrastructure competitiveness is in the 62nd position. It rose 10 levels from the previous year. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono said that the rising position that it cannot be separated from the role of government and stakeholders who have worked hard to accelerate development of infrastructure. Overall, the government's development based on state budget 2015 has reached 91.20% of fiscal target with 87.23% financed. Minister Basuki explained that in 2015, for the field of water resources, the government has completed 5 reservoirs, namely Jati Gede in West Java, Nipah in East Java, Bajulmati in East Java, Rajui in Aceh, and Titap in Bali. At the same time, 13 new reservoirs planned to be built. The contract of reservoirs construction have been signed. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President called upon to allow greater role for constitutional court in solving electoral disputes. Energy Minister defends legality of renewable energy levy. Well, that was the news. For Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Buleleng, Bali. Last Thursday, Indonesian Muslims celebrated Maulid Nabi, or the birthday of Prophet Muhammad. In Bali, people in Kampung Muslim in Pegayaman Village, Buleleng Regency, Bali, preserve tradition of ancestors by making sokok basa ahead of Maulid Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Committee head of Pegayaman of Maulid Nabi Muhammad, Muhammad Suharto, explained that sokok basa is beban tenan consisting of tusukan telur or egg satay put on pajegan, which is arrangement of bamboo adorned with flowers and fruits. The presentation of soko basa is part of Maulid Basa tradition, a series of Maulid Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the commemoration of Prophet Muhammad's birthday, people present soko basa to mosque management that will take one egg to be given to the man who delivers it. Suharto said there are 20 soko basa in this year's Maulid Nabi commemoration. The presentation of soko basa was accompanied with Seka Hadra performance, martial art dance with rebana or traditional tambourine in front of the mosque. Maulid Nabi commemoration in Pegayaman has run for 2 weeks. During the period, pilgrims read wirid or religious prayer in the mosque. Muhammad Suharto said people who wander usually go back to hometown to follow traditional event to welcome Maulid Nabi. The next news comes from Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta City Government issued Yogyakarta Mayor Regulation No. 63, year 2015, on the procedure of high leader position as the basic of position auction for head of service or agency. Head of Yogyakarta Civil Service Agency, or BKD, Marioto, said in Yogyakarta last Wednesday, position auction will be done by selection committee formed by Yogyakarta Mayor. Selection committee consists of various elements, namely officials in Yogyakarta City Government, officials out of Yogyakarta City Government, as well as academicians or experts and professionals. Marioto added that the government will also do position rotation to find out empty positions. Meanwhile, Yogyakarta Mayor Haryadi Suyuti said position auction will be done openly and transparently by the selection committee. According to him, selection will be done through competence tests about managerial, technical, and socio-cultural things based on the conditions. He hoped that open position auction may produce competent and professional officials with the quality of leaders. The last news is from Bandung, West Java. Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources presented Geopark Ciletuh certificate in Sukabumi Regency as a national geopark area last Tuesday in Bandung, West Java. The certificate was received by West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan. It was attended by representative of UNESCO. West Java Vice Governor Dedi Miswar said, Geopark Ciletuh area may become Geopark Global Network, which is recognized worldwide in 2017. This geopark can become recreation park and research, as well as economic empowerment. West Java provincial government will introduce Geopark Ciletuh to the world through Global Geoparks Network Forum in Osaka, Japan on September 15, 2016. In the meantime, UNESCO Advisory Mission for Geopark Ciletuh, Guy Martini, said Ciletuh is potential to become UNESCO Global Geopark Pilot Project. While head of Geopark Ciletuh Acceleration Task Force, Yunus Kusuma Brata, said that Geopark should guarantee the wealth of people. Therefore, in his view, it needs guidance for people to go hand in hand with the government to manage tourism well. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with an event in 1949, Indonesian National Revolution, the Netherlands officially recognizes Indonesian independence and of the Dutch East Indies. The Indonesian National Revolution or Indonesian War of Independence was an armed conflict and diplomatic struggle between Indonesia and the Dutch Empire and an internal social revolution. It took place between Indonesia's Declaration of Independence in 1945 and the Dutch recognition of Indonesia's independence at the end of 1949. The Indonesian independence movement began in May 1908, which is commemorated as the Tahun Kebangkitan Bangsa or the Year of National Awakening. The struggle lasted for over 4 years and involved sporadic but bloody armed conflict, internal Indonesian political and communal upheavals, and 2 major international diplomatic interventions. Dutch military forces were able to control the major towns, cities, and industrial assets in Republican heartlands on Jawa and Sumatra, but could not control the countryside. In 1949, international pressure on the Netherlands became such that, together with the existing partial military stalemate, it recognized Indonesian independence. Over now to December 27, 1945. the World Bank is established. The World Bank is an international financial institution that provides loans to developing countries for capital provision program. The World Bank official goal is the reduction of poverty. According to the World Bank article of agreement, all decisions should be guided by a commitment to promote foreign investment, international trade, and facilitate capital investment. The World Bank was established on December 27, 1945, following international ratification of the agreement reached at a conference that took place on July 1 to July 22, 1944. It took place in Bretton Woods. World Bank headquarters is located in Washington, D.C., United States. Technically and structurally, World Bank is one of the UN agencies, but operationally it is quite different from other UN agencies. Last now is December 27, 2007. Benazir Bhutto is assassinated. Benazir Bhutto was the first woman to lead a Muslim country in the post-colonial time. Bhutto was elected as Prime Minister of Pakistan in 1988, but 20 months later, she was overthrown by the president of the country's military backed, Ghulam Isaak Khan. Benazir was killed on December 27, 2007 with a shot in the neck by an assassin who then detonated a suicide bomb. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with me, Rahma. This week, we highlight the efforts of the National Police in keeping security ahead of Christmas and New Year. Listener, the National Police's Densus 88 Counter-Terrorism Unit arrested a man who is a terrorist suspect in Bekasi, West Java, named Abu Muzab, a.k.a. Arif Hidayatullah, or AM, a.k.a. AH, and Ali, a.k.a. AL. AM is strongly assumed to be terrorist network caught in Tasikmalaya, West Java, and Sukoharjo, Central Java, last Friday and Saturday. Head of the National Police or Polri Public Relations Division, Irjen Anton Harlian, confirmed the initial of two terrorists caught on Wednesday, December 23, 2015, in Bekasi, are AM and AL. He also confirmed that AL is a foreigner from Uyghur tribe, a tribe living in Chinese Autonomous Region, Xinjiang, an area in the border of China and Turkey. The National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti confirmed the arrest. Abu Muzab planned a series of attacks in the end of year in Jakarta. According to Badruddin, the alleged terrorists are linked to the Islamic State of Iraq and Greater Syria, or ISIS. Previously, the National Police's Densus 88 Counterterrorism Unit has caught 9 terrorists in 2 days in a row on December 18 and 19, 2015. They were caught in West Java, Central Java, and East Java. They allegedly would take action in December 2015. The main targets of this group are certain place, certain people, and other sects which are considered contradictory with their sectarian. Certain places here means police office and worship place. Meanwhile, certain people here means the national police officials. The National Police's Densus 88 Counterterrorism Unit officials, the National Counterterrorism Agency or BNPT officials, and state officials. Regarding the arrest of these alleged terrorists, Vice President Yusuf Kalla appreciated anticipating steps and security done by the police. Besides, it is ahead of Christmas and New Year celebration.
According to him, the arrest proves that security officers continue to keep tight security and stay alert on various threats anytime. However, Yusuf Kalla called for all parties to keep security to stay conducive ahead of Christmas and New Year. Besides, this year, Christmas falls after the birthday of Prophet Muhammad or Maulid Nabi. Kalla considered that involvement of all parties in maintaining situation is needed instead of relying on the police only. Listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Ismail Hasan of the Setara Institute said that President Joko Widodo needs to step in to make sure that the Constitutional Court can hear more electoral complaints, as the vast majority of such filings is rejected for not meeting strict formal requirements. Indonesia's energy minister has justified a levy on gasoline and diesel prices that will go toward funding renewable energy programs, following criticism about the legality of such a move. The Corruption Eradication Commission is set to summon witnesses for questioning next week in its investigation into the alleged corruption case involving state-owned port operator PT Pelinda to President Director Richard Joslino. People in Aceh on Saturday marked the 11th anniversary of the deadly tsunami that hit the province and other areas along the Indian Ocean by staging prayer meetings at mosques and public places. The December 26, 2004 tsunami killed hundreds of thousands of people in 14 countries, and Aceh was hit hardest. The Global Competitiveness Report 2015-2016, released by World Economic Forum, stated that Indonesia's infrastructure competitiveness is in the 62nd position, rose 10 levels from the previous year. That was the end of news in brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the week in review, which bring you news on what happened in Indonesia this week. Let's start with Monday, December the 21st. Indonesia and Australia, in the first ever such initiative, discuss security issues this year end on Monday. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Panjaitan said in a press conference following a meeting with Australian Attorney General George Brandis that they discussed issues such as counter-terrorism, cyber security, and intelligence cooperation. Meanwhile, still on Monday, Indonesian government has made public the names of companies on which it had imposed sanctions for having caused forest fires some months ago. The announcement was made by Coordinating Minister for Political Security and Legal Affairs, Luhut Panjaitan, in Jakarta. He was accompanied by Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya and National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti. However, only the initials representing the names of these companies were made public. Over now to Tuesday, December the 22nd, Vice President Yusuf Kalla gave directives to prospective Indonesian ambassador to Middle East countries and Azerbaijan. Basir Sidehabi, one of the prospective ambassadors, remarked that the ambassadors, who will be posted in Oman, Qatar, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Azerbaijan in the context of the escalating situation in Middle East countries due to the rise in terrorism, that as representatives of the Indonesian government, they were obliged to protect Indonesian citizens residing in those countries. Move now to Wednesday, December the 23rd. The government has decided to lower fuel prices as the year draws to a close in order to make prices more reflective of recent developments relating to crude oil prices, the rupiah's exchange rate, as well as the efficiencies of Indonesia's fuel supply chain. Premium, a brand of subsidized fuel marketed by state oil and gas company Pertamina, is now priced at 7,150 rupiah per liter, down from its previous price of 7,300 rupiah per liter. The Minister for Energy and Mineral Resources, Sudirman Said, at the President's office on Wednesday, December 23rd, said the price is already inclusive of the energy security surcharge, which amounts to 200 rupiah per liter. Still on Wednesday, Attorney General Prasetyo has stressed that a third round of drug convict execution will be carried out next year. He has yet to add further details with regard to schedule or the number of convicts that the government expects to execute. Attorney General Prasetyo at the coordinating political, legal and security minister's office on Wednesday said that law enforcement should keep moving ahead. The third round of execution should have been carried out sometime this year, but the execution were delayed due to economic reasons. Another news from Wednesday is the 13 bodies recovered on Wednesday of the passengers KM Marina, which capsized in Bone Bay, would be removed from Wajo District Siwa Hospital to Bayangkara Hospital in Makassar, South Sulawesi, for further identification. Head of Medical Health of the South Sulawesi Police Commander, Senior Commissioner Raden Harjuno, noted on Thursday that his party is still finalizing the report of the examination conducted on the bodies before they are taken for further examination at Bayangkara Hospital. And last is the news from Friday. Is Nusa Tenggara Governor Frans Lebu said that President Joko Widodo would pay a three-day visit to East Nusa Tenggara province starting on Saturday. The president would visit Labuan Bajo in the western tip of Flores Island to observe Komodo Airport. Aside from observing Komodo Airport, the president will also visit Atambua to launch the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of the Rotiklot Dam in the region that shares border with Timor-Leste. Based on the schedule issued by the State Palace, the head of state, who departed to Labuan Bajo on December 27, from there, he will continue to Atambua. On December 28, President Joko Widodo would attend a Christmas celebration in East Nusa Tenggara provincial capital of Kupang. Frans Lebu added that after attending the Christmas ceremony, the president will continue his tour to other Indonesian eastern region. Well, that was the week in review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Terjayakasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special segment featuring Indonesian tourism, including art and culture, places of interest, and culinary. Today's edition will be introducing Pelang Beach in Trenggalek, East Java. Stay tuned. Pelang Beach is located in Trenggalek. It combines some of the charm of beauties, such hills, sand, grass, waves, and mountains with dense forests and bustling wild birds. The beach has become one of the prides of Trenggalek and is notable because it has natural waterfall and cave. The access road from Trenggalek heading to the beach is approximately 60 kilometers, yet the road there is still under repair and only about 25% complete, so it is a little challenging because you will see a steep rise and waterfalls as well as ravines on both sides of the road. If you use public transport, it will take about 2 or 3 hours, and the fare is about 15,000 to 20,000 rupiah. Last bus from Trenggalek Terminal is approximately at 3 p.m. The entrance fee to the beach is 3,000 rupiah per person on weekdays, while on holidays, the entrance ticket is 5,000 rupiah per person. Pelang Beach has relatively calm waves. In addition, if you want to enjoy the waterfalls in this Pelang Beach, you just walk approximately 100 meters to the east of the beach. But if you want to enjoy the panoramic beauty of the sea and the beach from above, you can climb to the top of the hill near the beach. On the hill, there is a viewing post. Pelang Beach is also equipped with facilities such as children's playground, mosque, and toilet. There are also stalls that provide food and drink and a small shop that provides toiletries and clothes if you need them. But there's no lodging available. So, if you want to stay, you can stay in the city of Trenggalek. That was Indonesian Wonder today, introducing Pelang Beach in Trenggalek, East Jawa. We will see you again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Bye now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, tradition, and also lifestyle. Rice is the main staple food of Indonesian people. The population growth of 1.5% per year would be followed by the increasing demand for rice. Indonesia has large farmlands, but a lot of fertile land, especially paddy fields, were converted to housing, roads, and so forth. Efforts to increase national rice production continues, among others by utilizing less productive land use, such as dry soil and peatland, and with a high acidity level. To utilize this type of soil as planting areas can be done by producing a genetically engineered rice varieties tolerant to metal stress. Some researchers of Bogor Agricultural University, UPB, managed to create rice varieties resistant to metal and can grow well on marginal land with high acidity. They are Nurul Fitria, Utut Widyastuti, and Suharsono of the Research Center for Biological Resource and Biotechnology Institute for Research and Community Service and the Department of Biology, Faculty of Mathematics and Natural Sciences. The researchers conducted a study entitled Genetic Engineering of Rice or Oryza sativa L with gene encoding methylothionine 2 type of Melastoma malabaricum. According According to Nurul Fitriah, marginal land in Indonesia is very vast and can be used for rice production with the use of suitable varieties. One attempt to raise the national rice production is expansion of planting area in the direction of marginal land. The study aims to genetically modify rice plant or Oryza sativa L with genes MAM2, metallothionein instrumental in detoxificate some metal ions such as cadmium and mercury to the binding. Plants that are not expressed in excess to this gene is expected to be tolerant of other metal ions such as aluminium. In addition, melatonin is one of the protein that play a role in tolerance to harmful metals. It is also protein that contain a metal binding system functioning. This type of rice which have been planted in the area of Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan. The peatland was successfully planted with rice. Hopefully, the other marginal land can be exploited and yield rice to meet the needs of the people. That was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you to our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by M. Abdul Razak in Bangladesh. Hello, Mr. Abdul Razak. Thank you for your email dated December 3, 2015. In his email, Mr. Abdul Razak said that January 1, 2016 is his Voice of Indonesia's club anniversary, and he asked to send him some Voice of Indonesia's material. Mr. Abdul Razak, we are really sorry because at this moment we cannot fulfill your request, but we hope that you are not disappointed and you are still tuned to our radio every day. Thank you very much. And special for you and also our regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song.
Lembah yang curam, bukit yang terjal, jalan yang berliku. Ilmu saya tidak banyak, pengetahuan saya sangat terbatas. Tetapi dengan tekad yang kuat, tekad saya ingin mencerdaskan anak bangsa. Yang terpenting, kita mempunyai semangat untuk meraih yang terbaik.
Engkau lah pahlawan.
Pendidikan harus berbasis kasih sayang.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Jose Marano in Brazil. In his email, Mr. Jose Marano said that he hasn't received our QSL card yet. Hello, Mr. Jose, how are you? We are really sorry for your inconvenience, but you have to know that we have sent our QSL card to your home twice, and those QSL cards has never been back to our office again. So we think that those QSL cards have been received. You have been received the QSL card. So please send your current address. If you send us your next email, we will try to send it again. And hopefully this time our QSL card did not lose again. Well, Mr. Jose Marano, we are waiting for your next email and also your reception report. Thank you very much. Well, listener, before we continue, we will play another beautiful song for our regular listener wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Thank you. padamu. Jangan sampai kau meninggalkan aku. Begitu sangat berharga dirimu bagiku.
Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday, and now we'll continue to reply an email from Mr. Kanchan Katarji in India. Hello, Mr. Kanchan Katarji. Thank you for your attention and also appreciation on our broadcast. We are glad because you are very happy with our gift, and we hope that it can be useful for you. So please always tune in our broadcast, because next year we will hold another international quiz. And don't forget to send your reception reports. Who knows that next year you will be one of the lucky winners. Mr. Kanchan Katarji will play a beautiful song for you and also to our regular listeners. Let's check it out.
Kisah yang hadir dengan tiba-tiba. Rasaku ingin segera tuh bisa memilikimu. Meski tak tepat ku mendapatkannya. Begitu sulit untuk aku reda, meski ku tahu perasaan engkau dan aku tak bisa lepas. Biarkan ini adalah jalannya. Aku tak ada yang mampu untuk menghentikanku. Cinta bagiku adalah pengorbanan. Tak ada yang mampu untuk menghentikanku. Mencintaimu adalah pengorbanan. Aku korbankan. Cerita mengalir begitu saja. Begitu sulit untuk aku reda. Biarkan kini sudah aja.
bagiku adalah pengorbanan. Tak ada yang mampu untuk menghentikanku. Cinta bagiku adalah pengorbanan. Tak ada yang mampu untuk menghentikanku. Cinta bagiku adalah pengorbanan. Cinta bagiku adalah pengorbanan. Oh, yang apa aku korbankan? Yang apa aku korbankan? Oh.
Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast, so please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter @voi_indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_indonesia. And we'll also like to thank you for your greetings sent to us. Thank you for Vicentiu George in Romania, who have sent your greetings on New Year and also Christmas, and also to our listeners wherever you are. Happy New Year, and we hope that next year we will have a better life. Thank you very much for listening, and to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Anes Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Adalah darahku, kini kau telah ajukan untuk berpisah dariku. Dan rasakan rasa sakitnya hatiku, karena kau telah selalu salah untuk menilai diriku. Oh, ku tak sanggup melupakan dirimu. Kehilangan dirimu melumpuhkanku. Kau menganggapku tak bisa setia. Antara cinta kita berdua berakhir dengan cerita duka. Perpisahan telah membuat jadikan dirimu sudah bukanlah milikku, sudah bukanlah milikku. Antara cinta kita berdua milikku, sudah bukanlah milikku. Oh.
bisa setia antara cinta kita berdua. Berakhir dengan cerita duka, perpisahan telah membuat jadikan dirimu sudah bukanlah milikku, sudah bukanlah milikku. Antara cinta kita berdua berakhir dengan cerita duka, oh, perpisahan telah membuat jadikan dirimu sudah bukanlah milikku, sudah bukanlah milikku.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.